Grade 4 Conference, Lecture 61, Zoology, Part 8. You will find, of course, as you start to plan out what will likely be two blocks of zoology. Ideally, it would be 2 4-week blocks. The children would not complain about that at all, believe me, but it's more likely that you'll do 6 or 7 weeks altogether at the most rather than 8. So, you know, in between comparing the human being to the animal and the wonderful conversations that you'll have with the children and the way in which you're going to try to go into some depth with certain kingdoms of nature, with particular animals and groups of animals, all of this, you're going to find that probably you're only going to be able to do justice to perhaps 5 or 6 animals in all those weeks because of all that you're going to present, the time the children will need to write their own compositions about those animals, the drawings. It's a new kind of drawing, a new way of working. So you'll find that, you know, there'll be trial and error and hit or miss things. And the content probably will not be nearly as much as you would like to bring. Now, this isn't the first time it's happened. You know, you're not going to be able to teach every Norse myth either. And certainly, even as far back as grade 2, you might not have touched on every major great saint or told all the fables you would have wished to. That this is, you know, increasingly as the years go by, the dilemma that the Waldorf teacher has, and we have to go back to Steiner's words in How to Know the Higher Worlds, that a lot of things have to do with separating the essential from the non-essential, using our judgment and sensing what to leave out and what to include because a given child or the class as a whole needs it. So, you know, these are just all basic pedagogical issues that we have to face. However, somewhere along the way, no one knows where or when this happened for the first time, and probably in your school, nobody knows where or how or why it happened for the first time. But it has now become simply a part of the wallpaper of the fourth grade classroom, that the children are expected to do reports on various animals that the teacher did not have the time or the inclination to teach. And at first, that was the reason that was given, at least when I think back to my days teaching in the 1970s and 80s, that's what people said. Well, you know, there are so many wonderful animals, and she's really excited about horses, and I won't have a chance to do that. Or he's really interested in the white tigers of Asia, and they're getting extinct, and it would be good for the children to hear about that. And so, okay, that was one reason. Over the years, the rationale for doing this has expanded, you know. It's good for the children to learn how to do research, a skill that they will need, especially in the high school years. It's a way for the children to see how the library can really be a great place to visit and where there's so much more to be learned. It's good for the children to start to be thinking independently of the class teacher. It's really helpful for the children to do something at home on their own and figure out what drawing they want to choose for their cover and what drawings they want to bring in. Maybe they'll even show a map of where the animal, you know, so there are more and more and more reasons. After the fact, for sure, the reports were in place long before everybody realized how incredibly wonderful they were. Okay, now, in terms of all of those rationales and justifications for doing the reports, that could be said about any subject. The The children could also go to the library and do research on certain Norse gods, or giants, or elves who were not mentioned by the teacher, and, you know, come in and do a wonderful report about them. The children might want to perhaps go more deeply into silver mining in Nevada City in the 1800s, or the gold rush at that time, than the teacher was able to go into deeply. So local geography can become a series of trips to the historical society and all kinds of reports about that. Or maybe creating more detailed topographical maps of the area. You know, there are all sorts of potentials. I mean, second graders could be doing reports on more obscure saints. And why not have first graders do some ethnography and work on fairy tales from parts of the world that the teacher didn't cover? Where does it begin? Where does it end? Why this subject and not another? Now, once again, I'm not asking you to answer it. I am, however, presenting these basically rhetorical questions because I would say that actually, in spite of all of the baggage that we've added to this aspect of reports, that the fact that no one knows where it began, who began it, and what their justification was, when you have something like this, I would say it raises an orange flag at least, if not necessarily a red flag. You know, Steiner gave us a pretty good, pretty workable curriculum. It has definitely been improved in certain areas. It's also been depleted in certain areas. But it's good to know who made those contributions, because Steiner really invested a lot of his ego activity and put his name, if not on the school, at least on the curriculum. We know why he decided this was important and that was not. We know to whom he spoke about this or that change. We know when he visited a given classroom and what he had to say there and what he might have actually done, which might have been different from what he had laid out in the curriculum. Interestingly enough, even though something like reports is much more contemporary and was done at a time when it was much more possible via records being kept, the minutes of school meetings where the issue of reports might have come up, maybe somebody recording, actually, which Steiner could not have done, why they're doing this, none of that is there. It's very mysterious. I call this backdoor entry, that there are things, and this is increasing in number, especially as Waldorf enters into the public domain, things come in the back door. Sometimes they come in the back door, as textbooks certainly did in the 1980s, because teachers are really ashamed. They're embarrassed at the fact that they're having to use these enhancements, these teaching tools, rather than being able to do it out of themselves. So nobody really ever spoke about it. It was just there. And then they whispered to the teacher coming next into that grade, look in the closet. There, the door is closed, but if you open it up, you'll find the Saxon math textbooks there. And then somehow they just become everybody's domain. But no name on them. We don't know who started it. We don't exactly know why. But I think it had to do more with somebody feeling insufficient rather than really presenting a brilliant new idea out of his anthroposophical penetration of the subject. So I would say a few things. Number one, as I always say, respect tradition in your school. Astonishing how the Waldorf schools, which are supposed to be so open to the present moment and to all that's streaming towards them from the spiritual world, at this moment, it's incredible how many traditions you find. Any school older than 10 years, I would say you probably are dealing with 25 to 35 traditions that are there concerning festivals and concerning expectations in different grades. Any school that's 40, 50 years old, and those are growing in number, it's probably so many traditions that nobody even knows what Steiner ever had to say about a given subject. So we've got to watch that. That's one of the reasons that independent school growth is plateauing, that the independent schools are not perceived as having vitality and life and a kind of connection to today's world. It's because they are so stuck in these traditions. So that's one aspect of it. And once again, you may simply have to do it. You know, your mentor is going to tell you the parents are expecting these reports. The parents love these reports because they feel now the children are what? They feel the children are really learning. Yes, they're really learning. So grades 1, 2, and 3, and most of grade 4, I haven't been teaching them anything. No. What I mean is the parents, it's something like what they did when they went to school, and it kind of confirms that the parents know now their child is really in school, which they didn't know before. It's astonishing if we really think about why the parents like this so much. It has more to do with the poverty of education about Waldorf that those parents have received. So they start to look for the lined notebooks. They start to look for the pencil cases, the textbooks, everything that reminded them every September they were in school. They want to be reminded that their child is in school. Make the school as conventional as possible. And I would say, alas and alack, that's more what reports are about than any of the other justifications that we are giving. But you may have to do it. If there's any way that you can stand up and ask who started it, why, when, and why haven't we ever reviewed this and questioned it, you're going to threaten a lot of people. You have to be aware of that. Anytime you ask a question about what has always been done, or at least what's been done for the past decade or so in your school, you're ruffling the feathers of people who've been teaching there for a while and feel that their integrity, their quality as a teacher, their caliber as a human being is somehow being attacked. So be very careful about that. However, I would say to you, you have every reason in the world to question and doubt the validity of these reports. And here's some thoughts in this regard. On a more superficial level, we can say, number one, if we want to teach a fourth grader how to do research, we are basically teaching them how to plagiarize, because they will not have the judgment, spoken about this before, to differentiate between just copying something that somebody else wrote and interpreting it for themselves or comparing it to other things that are said about this animal. You know, if you say an animal is nearing extinction, well, maybe three groups say that and two groups say that's not true. Is the child going to be caught in a big conflict of, you know, China versus Tibet in terms of whether the white tiger is extinct or not, or on the way to extinction? You know, these issues are very complicated. When they go and read books written by others about animals, it's exactly the opposite of the way we're teaching them. Well, maybe that's good. They need a little bit of comparison that Waldorf isn't the only way. That may be. Maybe fourth grade's a little early for that. But I can guarantee you that on the whole, they're going to be getting fairly dead, fairly lifeless, factual presentations of the animal, which they, as good Waldorf students with their enthusiasm and joy, will probably bring life to. But in a certain way, is that really their responsibility to take dull factual material and breathe life in it? Isn't that what you're supposed to be doing on their behalf, showing them how that can be done until they are ready when they're older to start to do that for themselves? Thirdly, send a child to a library today, and maybe the parent says, okay, I'm going to do some shopping. I'll leave you here for the next hour or two. Probably there are no books in that library, or at least the books that the child needs are not to be found in that library. They're part of the library system. How do you get into that library system? How, in fact, do you get into your own local library catalog at all? Via computer? Or maybe by the time you're listening to this lecture, you bring along your own tablet or phone, and the library catalog appears on that, and you are guided around through the library and told what to look for. There'll be all kinds of remarkable interactive ways and artificial intelligence being used. But once again, it's precisely the opposite of what we are trying to do as teachers with the children, to really be teaching out of life and experientially and imaginatively, not via, in the end, the internet. And of course, that's the other aspect. If they're going to go to the library and find computers there anyway, why don't they just directly go on the internet and do research there? And here again, parents will deny that's being done, they'll lie about it, and yet you will find that you're sending the children off to do exactly what you have told them they shouldn't be doing, what the parents maybe have signed a pledge to the school that there'll be no computer exposure until sixth grade or something. And here, the ultimate absurdity, you're assigning the children to do things which will necessitate exposure to the computer and use of the keyboard and so on and so forth. So, you know, those reasons alone make it something that perhaps whose time once came, somebody thought, but whose time is definitely gone. And last but not least, okay, you have a class of 25 children. Everybody's doing a report on an animal. And now, of course, they're going to read those reports on their animals. Wonderful. How many hours will that take? How many main lessons will that take? If you're the kind of person who likes to get out of work, this is perfect. In fact, I would advise you then have them do these reports on every subject in the grade 4 curriculum and here on. And you can just kind of sit there and be an appreciative listener. You don't have to teach anything. So how are you going to be fair and let these reports be circulated? Maybe you won't have them read at all. You'll just read them, look at them. But there again, you're taking away the whole social experience of the child. You're sort of teaching them that learning is a solitary experience at a very young age. So there too, that's not so great. I would say that for fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, and except in very exceptional circumstances in eighth grade, the class teacher is the source of what the children are learning. They'll have the rest of their life to be doing their own research and working with the internet and the web and whatever else is rendered available to them. You know, doing research in our time has become easier and easier for everybody. And it's not like the children have to spend the next 4 years learning how to do research. It's become as simple, basically, as turning on and off a light switch. So we're not doing them any great service by asking them to do these reports. All that we are doing is sort of justifying what teachers before us have done, who really couldn't think this thing through very carefully. And if one has to do that as a political animal in the school, that's fine. But it's not contributing to the child's understanding of the real animal, which is the task of the class teacher and the class teacher alone.